Morning. Let's all stand together and we'll sing in our hymnals, hymn number 222. 222.
Fountain filled with blood drawn from
Sing hymn number 489.
His name, oh. Jesus so sweetly abides within, there at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad
time we meet. It's what we want to do every day, bring glory to his name. Mark chapter 1. And while you're turning, let me make a couple announcements. We'll have dinner here, fellowship dinner here next Sunday. And of course, no service that night. And also, there's a sign-up sheet back on the table back there. And going to be a very simple meal. Soup sandwiches. Nobody won't have to go to a lot of work. Everybody knows how to make a sandwich. How many of you went to a store back when you was a kid and buy a bologna and cheese sandwich and they make it right there in the store? Get you a pop to drink it with. Call them pop back then, you know. Didn't call them Pepsis or Coke. Just called pop. Just give me a pop. Boy, I tell you what. Things sure have changed as you get things go on, don't they? Well, let me read this. Down to verse 11. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance, for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locust and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus of Nazareth came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Our blessed Lord, our blessed Master, our great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, we look for thy appearing. We look for your appearing. And, O Lord, when you appear, we shall see you as you are and shall be made just like you. And, oh, what a blessed hope you've given us in this world and especially in the world to come. And, Father, we thank you that you've allowed us to be here today. Gave us the will, gave us the desire, gave us the hunger, gave us the thirst. And Lord, we pray that you would prepare us a meal today, that you would feed us, O Lord, with the bread of life, feed us with the Lord Jesus Christ, feed us with that blessed Son of God. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for your saints. I thank you for your elect. I thank you for your dear people. And Lord, I pray for them. You said you prayed not for the world, but for them that was given to you out of the world. And Lord, there's a people here today that was given to you, and they is given to you out of the world. And so, Lord, I pray for them. I pray for you to strengthen them, encourage them, comfort them. If they have a troubled heart, may their heart be comforted today. If they have a troubled mind, may their mind find rest today. And if there's a sinner among us, may the gospel find its lodging in their heart today. Oh, Lord, bring glory to yourself in this service. Honor your blessed Son. And, oh, Lord, we ask that you would have mercy upon our lost loved ones. So many here that are unconverted, never confess Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you'd move upon their hearts, upon their souls. And our Lord Jesus, please, please be merciful and gracious to husbands, sons, daughters, grandchildren. And we ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.
Let's all stand together as we sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin.
Trust for our bread is saved.
a blessing. Oh, what a blessing.
What a blessing. Turn with me back now to Mark chapter 1. Heard this little story one time. I'm sure you all have heard it, that a father took his son down in the basement of the church one time and had all these pictures on the wall. And the little boy asked his daddy, he said, who are all these people? I said, oh, son, they're people that died in the services. In the service. And the son said to him, said, which one did they die in, the morning or the evening? Oh, boy. If we can laugh together, we can cry together, can't we? But I'm going to deal with just this first verse this morning, and Lord willing, I'm going to be preaching through the book of Mark. I've never preached through it before. A couple of friends helped me with their notes, and I appreciate that. As Scott said, you know, the only thing we got original to ourselves is our sin. And him and Henry both have sent me outline, said, I don't know who I got this in from, but that's a good one, you know. So, But here, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I'm going to make a big statement right here. The whole gospel, the entire and only message of God's word is in this one verse right here. The whole gospel. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you find that word beginning, it means the origin. It means the source. It means the cause. It means the first place. And John 1 says this, in the beginning was God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so this is what we're talking about. Colossians 1:18 says this, He is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. He's the origin, the source of our life from the dead. And so everything we've got from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the origin. He's the first. He's the cause, the first place. All things that was made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So that tells us that He's the beginning. He's the cause. He's the source. He's the origin. And then it says about the beginning of the gospel. The gospel always means good news. That's what it called. Good news. Gospel word, the word means good news. Means glad tidings. And it's good news to those that have heard it. If you've ever heard the gospel, it's good news to you. It's always good news to me. Oh, it's such good news. Such glad tidings. But the word, you know, good news is a relative term. It's relative. What good news to one person may not be good news to others. May not be good news to them all. There's only one type of person that the gospel is good news for and good news to. You know who that is? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Now that's good news to a sinner. The gospel's good news to a sinner. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. That's good news for people like that. And I'll tell you, that's the only people it's good news to. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. The gospel's good news to somebody that's lost. Lost. Really lost. And how Christ has to come and seek and to save them, those that are lost. If you've never been lost, you've never been found. But if you was ever lost, Christ found you, that's good news to you. I was one of them sheep. Here's the thing about it. God's people's always been sheep. There's two kind of sheep, lost sheep and found sheep. And when Christ, the scripture said, he leaves the 99 and he goes out into the wilderness and he seeks until he finds that one lost sheep. And beloved, I tell you what, if you're ever a lost sheep, when he finds you, from then on, the gospel's good news to you. Ain't that right? Oh, and then the scriptures tells us that Christ is all. And I tell you, that's good news to who? People don't have nothing. Huh? Christ is all if you ain't got nothing. Ain't that right? That's good news to people who have nothing. That's good news to people who can do nothing. That's good news to people who ain't worth nothing. Good news. Huh? Is this you? Is the gospel good news to you? Huh? Oh, Christ is all if you ain't got nothing. Christ is all if you can't do nothing. Oh, let me say this. Let me tell you, when it's not good news to me, when it's not good news to me, there's one of two things that are true. One of two things that are true. Either I'm not hearing the gospel, I'm not hearing it, or else I'm not hearing it as a sinner. So when the gospel, I'm not hearing the gospel? One of two things. Either you're not hearing the gospel, or you're not hearing it as a sinner. And when you hear it as a sinner, it'll be good news to you. Ain't that right? And then look what he says here. Let's start here in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we use that word Jesus, God gave him that blessed name. It's the Old Testament name of Joshua. Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. That's what it means, Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. No wonder when Gabriel came to Mary and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. You see, he's Jehovah's salvation. Christ himself is Jehovah come down to save sinners. That's why his name's called Jesus. Jehovah's salvation. Joshua, Jehovah's salvation. When our Lord Jesus Christ was born, there's a bunch of angels got together. And they began to sing, glory to God in the highest. On earth this day is born in the city of David a Savior. Who is he? Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh my. And I tell you, he's born a Savior. And that's what he is. He's a Savior. How desperately men need a Savior. And I tell you, beloved, I need to be saved. I don't know about you. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. And you know why I need to be saved? Because I cannot save myself. I can't do it. I can't do anything to save myself. And I can't do anything to make myself savable. What can I do to make myself savable? Huh? Oh my. I need the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. I need saving. What do I need to be saved from? First and foremost, myself. I need to be saved from my will, my ways, my sin, from the curse of the law, from God himself, who's the judge of all the earth. I need to be saved. Huh? I need to be saved. That thing, that's an awful thing called sin, that has such a power, that has such strength, that has such an awfulness to it. I need to be saved from it. Every single day of my life, I need to be saved from that. Every single day I need to be saved from myself. Now you may like self. You may enjoy self. A lot of people do. I mean, self is the most important person in the world. Oh, self has got to be righteous. Oh, self has got to be good. Oh, self has got to be confident. Oh, self has got to be the most important person on the earth. And that's why I got to be saved from myself. Oh, I don't want myself to be important. I really don't. Oh, my. That's why he said, I tell you, he said he came to save. And let me ask you, did he do it? Did he save? Did he save? Oh, my. Let me tell you something. He has saved. He is saving. And we shall be saved. He shall save. Bless his name. I have been saved. Thank God for that. But thank God I am being saved. I'm being saved. How many times you reckon God saved us over the years? How many times has God saved us? How many times have we cried, "Our Lord, save me. Don't let me be deceived. Don't let me be a hypocrite. Don't let me be blind to myself. Oh, Lord, save me." And I'm being saved. And bless his name, and thank God one of these days we shall be saved plumb, completely and entirely. And oh my, what a day. Let them girls sing, "What a day that'll be when my Savior I shall see, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land." Oh, what a day that'll be. Huh? Oh, my. So it's the beginning. I need saved. Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus is Jehovah's salvation Savior. Then look what else it says. The beginning of Christ. Not only Jesus, but the beginning of Christ. Christ, the Old Testament, the word is Messiah. The Jews were looking for the Messiah. The Greek name for it is Christ. Christ. That means the anointed one. They was looking for the anointed one to come. And there was three offices in the Old Testament that had to have a special anointing and a special anointing with oil. Three offices: prophet, priest, and king. They all had to be anointed with special oil, special anointing oil. You remember when Samuel, God told him, said, "I've got a king, and I've got a king that needs to be anointed. I want you to go down to the house of Jesse. And when you get down there, I'll let you know who to anoint as king." And he said, "Call all your sons together." And they all got together, and he looked at this one and said, "Nope, that's not the one." Looked at that one, "That's not the one." He had seven sons, and six of them was there. And there they all were. And he said, "None of these. If you got another son somewhere?" He said, "Yeah, that's just, David out there tending the sheep. He's just a boy. He ain't important enough to even be here." He said, "Go call him." God said, "That's the one. That's the one. That's the one that's going to be king. You anoint him." And oh my, he was anointed prophet. And I mean, he anointed him as the king. And then there's the prophet. Elijah, when he was getting ready to, when God translated him, took him out of here in a fiery chariot. You know, there's two people went to glory without dying. You know who they were? Enoch was not, for God took him. And Elijah was taken up in a fiery chariot. Taken all the way. He didn't have to go through death. God come in a chariot. You know, they sing that old song, "Swing down, sweet chariot.
and carry me home. That's what happened to Elijah. A chariot come down, got right under him, and took him to glory. And when he, right before he went, he anointed Elisha in his place to be a prophet. Be a prophet. And then the high priest, the first high priest, Aaron, Moses, took holy oil. And he stood, had him stand there, and he poured oil over his head, and it run down on his beard. It tells us that in Psalm 100. He run down on his beard. So he was anointed as the priest. And no man ever held all three of these offices. No man in the Old Testament held all three of these offices. David was a king, and David was a prophet. You go through the Psalms, and how David, all the things he spoke about Christ, the things he prophesied about the Lord Jesus. And then he was a king. In fact, Christ was the son of David. And Samuel was a prophet and a priest. He offered sacrifices, go up to Gilgal, and he'd offer sacrifices up there. And King Uzziah, he messed up one time, and you can find it in 2 Kings chapter 5 or 15, that he decided to enter into the priesthood. He was going to go and offer a sacrifice, and he went into the temple, the tabernacle, and went to offer a sacrifice. And the minute he reached out there to get that, God struck him with leprosy. God guarded all the offices. A king couldn't be a priest. And a priest couldn't be a king. Samuel was a prophet and a priest, but he wasn't a king. David was a king and a prophet, but not a priest. Aaron was a priest, but not a king or a prophet. But our Lord Jesus Christ held all three offices. Oh, he held all three of these offices. You talk about specially anointed, huh? Oh, he held the office of prophet. You know, a prophet come with the word of God. They came with, thus saith the Lord. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ not only came with the word of God, he was the word of God. God is sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers through the prophets, but hath in these last days, what did he say? Spoke by son. When his son come into this world, he was God's word come to us. The word of God come down. He was a prophet. And oh my, hey, our Lord says, you know, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. Moses, our Lord says, spoke of me. And you know what he said? He said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me. He'll put his words in his mouth, and you hear everything he has to say. And then not only that, but he's a Savior priest. He's called the great high priest that's passed into the heaven. The prophet brings God down to men in the word of God. The priest brings men up to God. Huh? And I tell you, the priest has to have a sacrifice. You know who that priest offered a sacrifice? He entered once into the holy place with his own blood and obtained intercession for us. He said, no wonder John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And oh, as a priest, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, as a priest when he is on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He was offering a sacrifice. God forgave him on the basis of that sacrifice that he is offering. And he said, Peter, as a priest, because of the sacrifice, he said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Not only is he a prophet, the word of God, not only is he a priest, that he offered sacrifices, but he's a Savior King. You know, when a king makes a command, sends out his word, his will be done. And as a king, God's will's done through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, whose his will is done. The king is sovereign. The king is sovereign. I want you to look with me over here in Matthew chapter 16 for a moment, just a little bit. Matthew 16. Look what happens here now. What think you of Christ? That's the question. That's the number one question. What think you of Christ? We're talking about Christ now, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Oh my, listen to this now. He saith unto them, the 12, he said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, said this, listen to this, thou art the Christ. You're the Christ. You're that one anointed. You're that one sent. You're that Messiah we've been looking for. The Son of the living God. And our Lord said, oh, Simon Bar-Jonah, blessed art thou. Flesh and blood didn't make you to know that. Oh, my, it didn't make you to know that. All right, back over in our text again. The beginning of the gospel. At the beginning of Jesus, a Savior, Christ. Then look at this, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When you talk about Jesus Christ, our Lord, being the Son of God, do you know you have to say that the Son of God is eternal as the Father? He is eternal Son of God. A lot of folks don't think he started existing until he was born and laid in a manger. But oh, no, no. There never was a time that the Lord Jesus Christ did not exist. As the Son of God, there never was a time that he never was. He said, I'm the Alpha. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. I'm he which was, which is, and which shall be. If you want to find out when the Lord Jesus Christ started, you got to go all the way back and find out when God started. If you can find out when God started, then you can find out how old the Lord Jesus Christ is. When you find out how eternal God is, then you'll know how eternal the Son is. Huh? Oh my, and they hated him for that. They hated him for that. Look with me in John chapter 5. Oh, they hated Christ for calling himself the Son of God. Look over here in John 5 with me. Look down verse 16. Oh, I tell you what, the Son of God. This is something that, you know, there's so many people that really do not believe that Jesus Christ is eternal. Eternal. They believe he had a beginning. They believe he had a start. He did have a start when he came into this world as a man. But he came into this world as the Son of God, the eternal God, come down and dwelt among us. The Word did. And look what he said here now in verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. And this is the reason, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But our Lord answered them, my Father works here and I work. My Father's working here and I'm working. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. We can't have that. He can't be God and man at the same time. Oh, no. He said God's his father, so we can't have that. We got to kill him. And then look over here in John 8. Look in John 8. They hated him for being the Son of God, for saying he's the Son of God. They just, because that made himself equal with God. Our Lord was talking to them here in John chapter 8 and said, you're your father, the devil. You're not the sons of Abraham. He said in verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Our Lord said unto them, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then look what happens. Then took they up stones to cast him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst. And why are they going to stone him? Because he said, I am. I'm God. I'm God. I was once on that mountain. And oh my, it's like that man born blind. Let me show you this too in John 9. You know, talking about the Son of God. The Son of God. Look in John 9 with me. You know, that's why Peter said, you know, thou art the Son of God. And that man that was born blind, you remember that and how they tried to figure out who opened his eyes. And look down here in verse 35. And Jesus heard, they cast this blind man out, you know. And when he had found him, you know, it's like a fella asked, they asked this guy, this Chinese man one time said, you know, I read it this week. He was going to join a church and they asked him for his confession. Said, when did you find Jesus? He said, I know find Jesus, Jesus find me. And that's what happened right here. Jesus found him. Yeah, Jesus found him. And when he heard that they'd cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe, listen to this now, on the Son of God? On the Son of God. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with him. And look what he says now. He said, Lord, I believe. What did he do? He worshiped him. I believe that you're the Son of God. And he worshiped him. You're the Son of God. I believe. How did he answer the high priest when he was dying? Look over here again, Mark chapter 14 with me. Mark chapter 14. How did he say to the high priest when he was dying, when he was there fixing to die? Again, Mark 14 and verse 61. Oh my, how did he answer the high priest when he was dying? In verse 60, and the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, askest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witnesses? He making himself to be God. We don't need nothing else to convince us to kill him. And then when he was born, do you know what they said about him? At his birth, Gabriel said, he shall be called the Son of God. the Son of Highest, the Son of God. Nobody else. We're called sons of God only as we're related to Christ. But he's the only one who's the only begotten Son of God. You know, demons knew who he was. Demons know who he is now. Shirley and I was watching something the other day, and it's at one of these documentaries, and this fella done all this killing. I said, you know, I said, these people that do stuff like that have to be demon-possessed. They have to be. The people said, you think there's people demon-possessed? Of course they are. What do you think a serial killer is? What do you think of a mother that kills all of her kids? Huh? Demon-possessed, devils in them. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he got around a bunch of, we come up to cast some devils out of a fellow. And you know what they said to him? We know that thou art the Christ, the Holy One of God. He said, shut up and come out. Shut up and come out. The devils can't even talk unless he tells them to. Ain't that right? And oh my, disciples saw him when they'll control the weather. When he said, peace be still, and the waves stopped and the wind stopped and that storm just stopped. And they said, oh, this is indeed the Son of God. This is indeed the Son of God. And right here in Mark chapter 1, you know what the Father said about him here? In verse 11, and there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you know what my testimony is, and I believe your testimony is the same thing the Apostle Paul said. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of who? The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, I tell you what, I believe he's the child born. I believe he's the son given. He's the Son of God. And faith is believing who he is. Oh, who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe he's the Son of God. And you know why I'm overcoming the world instead of the world overcoming me? Because he's the Son of God. Amen. Our Father, in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news that he came to save sinners. And Lord, oh Lord, I'll take my place before you. And I'm so thankful that you came. And I accept that blessed saying. I accept it, Lord. I believe it. And I know others here believe it. They believe that you're the Son of God. They believe you're the Christ. They believe that you're the Savior and that you're our only hope, that you're all our all in all. Oh, God, blessed be your holy name. Save your people in this place. Bless them and strengthen them, encourage them, and do it for your holy name's sake. Amen and amen. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Savior, Jesus, let fragrance after the rain. Jesus,
Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. He's the Son of God. I believe that, and I believe He's my Savior. See you tonight, 6 o'clock, God willing.